it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Slipping on into hour number two here of Gwen and Chris. Remember, short show today, 4:30 for the pregame show, and 5:30, actually, a little after, 5:40, for the ball game tonight between the Padres and the Reds, Dylan Cease bobblehead night. So get on out there early if you want one of those.
I'm trying to get down there in time to get one.
Really?
Yep.
They usually give us one here in the studio that you just end up stealing at some point?
I never stole it. I asked. But guess who's took home the last one? Frank Marchese.
Frank Marchese commandeered the last bobblehead, huh?
Uh-huh.
You got competition now.
Well, there's no competition.
I wonder, what I'm wondering here is apparently
in the bobblehead pecking order, I think.
You think? Frank might be higher in the pecking order in terms of being able to beat you up. He's a big guy.
He is.
Big Frank.
Frank is big. He's lost a lot of weight, though, so I think I might be able to take him.
I don't know. His quickness has improved. Just saying.
It has improved. You're right about
saying.
That.
Just saying.
My quickness has stayed the same, which
pretty
is it's amazing.
All right. We're going to get into some daily gambit stuff. As I said, the Diamondbacks 5, the Giants nothing. They're in the top of the 8th in San Francisco. The Padres don't need to play scoreboard necessarily, but not going to hurt my feelings if the Giants lose this one today. In terms of other baseball news, Anthony Rizzo, talk about him more in the Big 5, but announces retirement from baseball today. Schwarber got to the 50 mark. Schwarbs.
Yes.
Hit Schwarbs. Number 5-0 last night. 34th player, I think, to do it. Something like that. And, Phillies beat the Mets again last night. NFL news. Your guy, Brock Purdy, apparently unlikely to play against the Saints. And it says could miss weeks of time.
I don't know what
All
happened.
All of a sudden, Scraby, your guy has turned into... a veritable one of those soft athlete guys who, you know, begs out of the lineup and you don't see him for a while.
I mean, what, you get paid $60 million and you can't
All of a sudden, now he can't
all
play.
All of a sudden, you're not willing to work through injury, Mr. Purdy?
He's got a toe injury. Like, I mean,
that
I
is
hate
tough.
I hate, it is?
You're have you NFL. Ever had a tough, or have you ever had a toe injury?
It just sounds funny that you're a big, tough NFL player and you're out because of a toe.
Oh, no, I think it's funny when they say,
my toe.
He's got turf toe.
Somebody put some tape on my toe.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Brock Purdy, probably a long shot, says Kyle Shanahan.
I don't believe any of this.
Purdy playing.
I don't believe any
so
of
you
this.
So you think he's going to play? You think it's just total
How do you go from throwing
BS.
A winning touchdown at the end of the game to not being able to play the next week?
All right.
Shanahan plays these games. We know this.
Aaron Rodgers, who did take a little criticism because even though he threw 4 touchdowns the other day, did not show a lot of mobility in
no,
the Steelers game.
He did not.
He explained that today. Said his back was, quote, a little tight.
Well, I deal with that every morning, Aaron Rodgers.
No kidding. These things, as somebody... If you're watching on the YouTube, you can see us. Okay, we're decent, you know, athletic people, Scraby and I. But we are not professional athletes, nor do we think we are.
No.
I have to stretch every day, like all day, to keep my back loose, you know, keep the leg, the hamstrings going, etc. But I'm also not a professional athlete. Why do these guys get hurt so often on those little types of things? Doesn't it bug you?
George Kittle's out 5 weeks because of a hamstring
pull. Did he have another toe?
No, he's got a hamstring injury, Chris.
Yeah, Trey Turner. Kind of an important player for the Phillies. Hamstring, we'll see you in the playoffs, maybe. Jackson Merrill sat out a long time with that hamstring.
Sure did. Killed my fantasy season.
So, well... it is interesting. I understand that they're professional athletes. They push their bodies to the limit. But you think that with all of the help and the trainers and the athletic people and the, you know, gurus and people that they're around and personal, you know, trainers, that these guys would stretch and never have this kinds of issues. They have them all the time, apparently. Daily Gambit time. Let's go.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Michael on the chat says, turf toe is completely debilitating and excruciatingly painful.
I'm joking with that, Michael. I totally get it. No, I know this is a bad one.
Turf toe is not easy.
What it needs is a better PR agent. So that the name of it isn't turf toe, because it doesn't sound like it should hurt that much.
It should be like fire toe or something.
Something, yeah. make it sound like a real injury.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. I get it. I know of turf toe, and I know that it's really
not easy to handle. When I was a drinker, I had gout a couple times.
That actually sounds way worse.
It is. Okay. Gout might be the most painful thing I've ever been through in my life.
Okay.
But not anymore, because I don't drink anymore. All right, let's get to our bets from last night. First one, Reds Padres over under 7.5 runs combined. We both went over. It was under 4-2, 6 total runs. Michael King over under 4 2/3 innings pitched. We both went under. He was over.
We all thought we had the insight in that one.
They'll never
make 5 innings coming off of this kind of injury layoff. Yeah,
they'll never pitch him. He's only going 70 pitches.
Well, he went under that. He only had 60-something pitches. That's why he was able to make five.
Yeah, so he did, and we lost the bet on that one. Dodgers -1.5 on the run line against the Rockies. Both of us went Dodgers. We were correct, 7-2.
Yeah.
Who had more runs plus hits plus RBIs, Manny Machado or TJ Friedl of the Reds? You said Friedl. I said Manny. They both had zero. So.
0-0 tie. Yeah. Nobody was able to do anything in that category.
The Las Vegas Aces were 17-point favorites over the Chicago Sky, and we both picked the Aces. The Aces won by 31, 92-61. And in the other game we thought was going to be a laugher, Minnesota was only a two-point favorite over Indiana. We both picked Minnesota, and Indiana won 83-72, so we were wrong about that.
Evidently, Indiana's much better without Caitlin Clark.
I guess so.
Those are the kind of conclusions we draw when we talk about the Padres.
I was just thinking that.
Every time something happens, it's, wow, Suarez is terrible. He'll never get another out.
I was just thinking about how to work Luis Arraez in this.
Yes,
Caitlin Clark is Luis Arraez.
Right, so Caitlin Clark doesn't play. Obviously, the Indiana's way better.
Way better.
Yeah.
Final one, Asia. Who had more points? Asia Wilson -6 on the spread or Kelsey Plum? We went Asia Wilson. Asia Wilson had 11 points. With the 6 subtracted, you got 5. Kelsey Plum, 17, so she wins.
8-6 for me, which is keeps the bills being paid. 4-10 for you. Had you out
on
a street corner somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not doing well this week.
4-10. Well, it's time to rally. Padres 1.5 over the Reds. Tonight.
Padres 1.5 over the
Reds. Now, just understand, the Reds have won both bets this week.
Yes, they have.
The first game, the Padres did not cover the spread, and of course, last night, the Reds won straight up. You going for the Reds sweep, or do the Padres finally cover the spread here tonight?
Let me go look at Andrew Abbott real quick.
He's been good, but not lately.
Okay, in the last 3 starts, he's given up 5 earned runs, 2 earned runs, and 6 earned runs.
Right.
I'm going to say that he continues pitching poorly, and the Padres win by 2 or more.
So, Padres.
Yes.
I'm calling, this sounds like I'm going out on a limb, but I really shouldn't be, calling a 2 or 3-run homer tonight. Somebody get a hold of one.
Oof.
Man.
Manny Machado, please. He needs it.
He just missed one, I must tell you, in the 8th inning last night. And when he hit it, it ended up far short of the warning track. But you could tell he knew he just missed it by the way he threw his bat down as he was running to first base. Yeah, he's like, Yep, but he missed it, for sure. I'm going Padres. 7.5 runs tonight. 7.5. Pivetta has not had one of those shutout games.
And he's at home.
But it's time. And it is time to get through the first inning without giving up a home run.
Please.
And while you're at it, let's go through the second and third inning as well.
Please.
If anyone can do it, it's Pivetta. I say under. Padres win. I'm calling it right now. 6-0 tonight. Straight up. 6-0. Like a bagel in tennis.
I'm going to go over, and I'm going to say the Padres win 7-1.
All right. Dodgers, again, 1.5 over the Rockies. I put this in there because I don't understand why they actually let people bet on this.
Because
this just seems like the easiest win in history to pick against the Rockies here.
Because they could pull what they did on Friday night and surprise everyone.
Not in L.A. they can't. Who are you picking?
Dodgers.
I know you are. I don't have time to look this up, but I almost bet you anything the Rockies have not won a game in L.A. in 2 or 3 years. I know they haven't won one there this year. Paul Skeens, 7.5 strikeouts at Baltimore. Even though his luggage is weighed down by the Cy Young Award that is already in it, Paul Skeens, I can't make fun of the guy anymore. He pitches 7 shutout innings every time.
And gives up two runs and strikes out 8.
Yeah, I'm going to go over.
I'm going to go over, too.
He's been that good. Christopher Sanchez, Phillies, 6 1/3 innings against the Mets. So he needs to get an out in the 7th inning to go over. Sanchez has been probably the second best pitcher in the league behind Skeens. For those who don't know who Christopher Sanchez is.
Who was the Brewers pitcher that made the All-Star team over him?
Oh, Mizorowski. Yeah, yes. He pitched 4 innings all year and Sanchez stayed home.
And guess what? We haven't heard about that guy once.
Not much.
Since the All-Star break.
Not much.
It drives me nuts when they force these guys into things.
I know you didn't like that.
I know.
Anyway. Not, a lot of people didn't like it. There was a lot of criticism on that. Anyway, who you taking? Sanchez over under against the Mets. The Metropolitans.
Where is it?
It's in Philly. Philly's won the first 2 of the series.
Under.
Okay, the Mets get to Sanchez. I'll say under, but I'll feel great about it. All right, since it was scoreless last night, we have to do a reprise. Friedel versus Machado. Once again, runs, hits, and RBIs. Neither guy had any of those last night. I want to take Manny, but he's swinging like a rusty gate, to be honest with you.
But you said he just missed one.
He did. And
I'm going to go with Manny.
I'm going to say Manny, too, because I was going to say, I already also said that Pivetta is going to do a lights-out game, so that means Friedel won't get much. All right, that's all we have for the Daily Gambit. We have to take a break. We have our Big Five at the bottom of the hour. Before we get to that, though, I had something that was like burning in my mind that I just had to talk about.
Uh-oh.
And in glorious old man fashion.
Yeah!
I can't think of what it is. So hopefully I'll recapture it while we're checking traffic.
Okay. While we're checking traffic, yeah. I have something about Manny that we could talk about on the other side.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll have that. And hopefully I'll remember what's really cool to talk about when we return.
Correct.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Scrappy says a little potpourri would be good here. Does everybody know what potpourri? Just kind of a little of everything?
Yeah.
I think potpourri, in a, you know, my wife's world, potpourri is not that.
It's scented something.
Potpourri is, yeah, that scented stuff.
You bark?
And I don't get it.
I don't get it.
Like you pay like $100 for a little package of some sort of purple lavender flowers, and you heat up some water, and you put the flowers in there, and then I just paid $100 for that?
Yeah.
Like, really? But that's what potpourri is in my wife's life.
It smells good.
Maybe. I ain't guaranteeing
maybe.
That. Yeah, I'm not guaranteeing that. Like, let's go do a couple of quick items here. Okay. Why don't you go first?
All right.
Machado's been cold.
Yes.
Kevin Acey is suggesting that he's going to get hot.
Yes, because there have been at least, according to Kevin Acey, at least a 25-game stretch at the end of the each of the past five seasons in which Manny Machado was a big part of the offense. So last year, he hit .309 over 75 games to end the season with a .946 OPS. 2023, 25 games from game 126 to 154. He accounted for 7 home runs, 3 doubles, hit .275. So basically what Kevin Acey is saying is that Manny Machado figures it out at some point before the regular season is over. The other ones, 2022, 55-game stretch where he hit .313 with 14 homers, and then 2021, 30-game stretch where he hit .316 and a .911 OPS.
He has how many HRs at the moment? 23, is it?
23, because Tony was saying that he could easily reach 30.
I don't think he can easily reach it.
Not right now.
Right? He's got 18 games to hit 7. That is certainly something within his range. But
his batting average has taken a dive.
He's not going to win the batting title again.
My bold prediction is over. Yeah. And my Gavin Sheets 30 home runs was over at the trade deadline.
But Gavin's giving it a run for you, man. Gavin's been great. I'm telling you, I'd give him an outside vote for a team MVP.
I was actually
for all the reasons I talked about yesterday. But I think Gavin Sheets has been really valuable. In a lot of ways.
Do you extend him and just bypass arbitration and keep him on the team?
I would, but it's not my money, and I also don't have the entire team plan in front of me.
That's true.
So they have to work within those constraints. I don't. So yes, Gavin Sheets has to come back. As far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
As far as the batting title, by the way, Trey Turner's at .305. He's going to finish at .305. He's not playing the rest of the regular season.
They did say that for sure?
No, but
okay. That's what I thought.
He's hopeful for the playoffs, which tells me maybe a game or two at the end, if any, you know. But most likely, Trey Turner's going to finish at .305. Right now, Sal Frelick, .297 is second.
Wow.
That's going to break Tony Gwynn's record, you know.
Why?
A record that Tony Gwynn wouldn't mind relinquishing.
What is that?
Tony has had the record for a long time for the lowest batting average ever to win a batting championship in the National League.
I love it how it's a negative the winner with the lowest.
He had a .313 average. I think it was 1988. That was the lowest ever to win the National League batting title. That record will be broken this year. Somebody will win it with a lower total.
Okay. Actually, you're right. It is a good one.
It is a good one.
One update real quick. You were talking about Trey Turner being out for the rest of the year. Jeff Sanders is tweeting that. Let me get his exact tweet.
Yeah.
Xander Bogaerts cleared for baseball activity and beginning his progression. So his nice bones doing their thing.
Sounds like he's coming back sooner rather than later.
Yes.
Remember we talked about the Open I went to the game last night, and my friend Scott was there sitting with me. Scott's getting way...
Scott is the star of the show today.
Scott is a great guy. But he pointed out something to me, and I said to him at the time, I got to mention that. Like, that's really weird. So here it goes. Scott went to the University of Oklahoma. He's a Boomer Sooner. His daughter goes to Oklahoma.
Okay.
His other daughter goes to Auburn. He's pretty fired up because next weekend, Auburn plays Oklahoma.
Oh, that's cool.
All of his daughters are going to be together. They're going to go to the game. But as an Oklahoma fan, built into his world is a hatred of Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Oklahoma, Texas.
Red River Shootout.
Right. So Scott's telling me about Oklahoma's schedule the rest of the season. And he says Oklahoma has the rivalry game against Texas. That's automatically on the schedule. Then they have 7 other conference games. Oklahoma's in the SEC now. They have 7 conference games. All 7 of their opponents are currently ranked. Every one.
Wow.
So that's kind of crazy in and itself. But here's the rub, and this is what got Scott's ire. And I couldn't agree with him more. Texas is on the other side of this. Right now, there are only, get this, Scraby, there are only 5 teams that are unranked in the SEC. 11 are ranked, 5 are not ranked.
Okay. That's a lot of teams.
Yeah, right. That's weird. Only five teams not ranked. While Oklahoma is playing seven all-ranked teams, Texas plays all five of the teams that are not ranked.
Mm, of course. That is kind of weird.
That is like the most unfair way something's ever worked out ever.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that.
I don't know how you can stop it. You know, you put the schedules together, you don't know where teams are going to be ranked necessarily.
I know. I'm just saying, like, that's why it's all weird at the end of the year.
Yes,
when it's like Oklahoma played a much tougher schedule than Texas did.
Look, Texas could beat Oklahoma 14-13 and then win the rest of their games because they're playing all these. Oklahoma can lose some of these games because they're playing all ranked teams. And people will have Texas as one of the greatest teams in the nation because they're 10-1 and Oklahoma will be 8-4.
Yeah, and they're going to be the really first team out.
There really may not be much difference between the two teams.
I accept the ire of your friend Scott.
Yeah. Texas has all five of the non-ranked teams left on their schedule.
Random,
right?
Yeah, that is lucky schedule making.
All right, let me do one self-serving question to you before we go to break and then get the big five. Quickly.
Yes.
We talked about the Dolphins, and I have, at length, how bad they are and how I've given up the season and how everything is terrible and they have no shot. I'm not the only one talking about this. This is pretty much one of the storylines after week one. How bad really are the Dolphins? Most people are saying bad, but not that bad. And they're going to show this week, at least, that they've got something.
They do
play the Patriots. So how much do you believe, if I told you you had to bet a paycheck on this game, would you bet that Miami bounces back and looks decent and beats a bad team, or would you bet what I'm saying, that Miami is just worse than we can ever imagine and they're going to lose again?
Where is this game being played?
It's in Miami. I don't think that matters. If you've got no offensive line and no backfield, they can play the game on the moon. It's not going to matter.
Man.
By the way, Miami's number one cornerback and offensive lineman are both out of the game, and they're bad at both of those positions to begin with.
Yeah, that changes a lot for me because
I don't know.
I don't necessarily think that Mike Vrabel's a great coach.
I know you
but
don't.
I think he's a better coach than Mike McDaniels. Mike McDaniel.
So if you had to bet the paycheck,
I wouldn't do it on the Dolphins.
You'd bet on the Patriots to beat them. I think I would too.
They have a more complete team right now.
Miami is such a disaster, and I think people are going to I'm either eat my words on Monday, you know, they're going
to
win.
And you'll be happy to.
And I'll be happy to eat them, or I'm going to come in and say, yeah, I was right. They were bad. I knew they were this bad.
I don't think that this is the measuring stick, though. The Patriots are probably a 500 team. So it's not like, well, I guess it might be because the Dolphins want to be 500.
If you lose to the Patriots at home, that is going to be proof that they are bad to all the people who don't yet know it. Big Five is next. Gwen and Chris.
Hey, I'm Austin Gardner.
And I'm Kyle Lobe. We're the founders of GL Pools, San Diego's largest family-owned pool service and repair company.
We're grateful to have helped thousands of San Diegans keep their pools crystal clear since 2006, and we'd love to help you too.
Call GL Pools today and mention radio, and we will give you 1 free month of pool service so you can experience what pool service should be, with no contracts, no commitments.
You've worked hard for your backyard, and so will we. Visit glpools.com today and get back to enjoying your pool. That's glpools.com.
Chris Ella from my friends at Spiro's Mediterranean Cuisine last night. I know the Padres are not last night all the time.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. The Big Five today. Not as in-depth as yesterday, but we do have some interesting topics. What are
and
you doing,
who,
Chris?
Well, I'm wondering who said that yesterday's was in-depth.
The 23 minutes that we did was why it was in-depth.
You're referring to the length of it yesterday.
Yes, yes, okay. But you know what? I will take it because those are great topics created by me.
Let's see what we can come up with today.
Yes. If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit spirocuisine.com. New spot for the Big Five for today, 3:40. So if you've never heard it before, every day at 4:40, we do the five best of the rest stories around sports and life. So it could be anything from aliens to today we're going to talk Anthony Rizzo. So that's what the Big Five is all about. Chris, I see it in your face.
Well, I don't know how you made a connection from aliens to Anthony Rizzo, but that's okay.
That's how my brain works. All right, let's get into...
Strange, I might add.
Yep. Yeah, no one liked the annexation of Puerto Rico joke yesterday. No. Like, come on, people. That was an amazing joke.
We can't keep up with you, Scrape. Too fast for us.
Do you guys know what happened on January 6th, 2012? Not that January.
Yeah,
not
really. January 6th.
2012. Yeah. Do you guys remember what happened?
No. Don't know what happened on that date.
I think the Bulls beat the Pelicans that night.
Okay, good. Are the Pelicans around in 2012?
Maybe.
That was the day the Padres traded Anthony Rizzo to the Cubs. And Rizzo announced his retirement from the game today after 14 seasons in the big leagues, mostly with the Cubs. And he also played for a little bit with the Padres at the big league level and then with the Yankees. The Padres acquired right-handed pitcher Andrew Cashner and left fielder Kyungmin Na in the Cubs acquired Anthony Rizzo and Zach Cates. So looking back, Chris.
Wait. Run that back again. Who did the Padres get?
Andrew Cashner and a left fielder by the name of Kyungmin Na.
It was basically Rizzo for Cashner. The other two...
Zach Cates wasn't a part of that whole thing?
They might have, but I don't think...
No, he was a part of it.
No, but they never really amounted to anything.
Okay.
So
here's the question. Looking back in your crystal ball, was trading Anthony Rizzo the right move for the Padres?
That's impossible to say.
It's not impossible.
Well, I'm going to say a couple of things, because I think Anthony Rizzo traded to the Cubs is one of the things that people say was a disaster moment for the Padres. But I remind everybody that he did have 153 plate appearances for the Padres. He had 18 hits, one home run. He batted 141 with the Padres. Now, was that enough of a sample size? Of course not. Anthony Rizzo went on to be a fantastic ball player and a World Series winner and a big part of why they won it. And he went on to have a really good career and make a whole lot of money. But it's revisionist history of anybody here 14 years after this to say it was a dumb trade. Because I was here when the trade was made and the Padres needed a right-hander and they needed Andrew Cashner and they got him. And he pitched some good games, and then he, you know, kind of frittered out a little bit. But Anthony Rizzo, I think people were like, no, this is not the guy. Now everybody says that was a dumb trade, but it wasn't.
I don't know
it wasn't so much at the time.
I don't know that everybody says it's a dumb
trade.
Some do. Tony, you were 2 years removed from this team when he was traded to the Cubs. What are your thoughts on the trade of Anthony Rizzo back in 2012?
I think Chris is right from the standpoint. It's really hard. Like, Rizzo went to a different organization. And who knows if there was a coach there or a hitting coach or whatever that, you know, helped him get to where he was. Because as Chris said, he hit 140-something with the short stint with the Padres. Would he have been able to blossom into the player he was?
Yeah, you never know, right?
In San Diego.
You never know.
I don't know, man. It's so hard to predict that. I do still remember him karate kicking Austin Hedges, though, as a Cub.
I do remember that, too.
That definitely, and no retaliation happened. I remember how much that irritated the folks in San Diego. But I think it's impossible to predict whether he would have been the same player. I think he certainly would have had the chance to be the same type of player, but would he have had the same type of success?
Right.
I don't know.
There's no way he hits as many home runs at Petco Park as he did at Wrigley Field, right?
Especially at that point, just start there. They hadn't even started to move the fences in at that point. This was still the graveyard.
You can start with that, right? He wouldn't have had as much power. But Tony's 100% right. It's like the pitchers that come here, and then they become successful. Ruben Niebla gets a lot of credit, and he deserves it. But we also don't know that maybe those pitchers just would have come into their own had they stayed where they are. Like, you just, right. It's impossible to be 100% sure.
You know what is impossible, Chris? Pitching Whisperer not getting the credit for this.
I gave him the credit. Okay. I said he gets all of the credit. He gets a lot of the credit.
Okay.
All
right, as long as you said that about the Pitching Whisperer.
Listen to everything I say.
I only listen to half.
You listen to every other word.
Yes, that's true. last week, Chris.
Could you imagine that? Actually only hearing every other word?
That would be weird.
You'd be jacked up a lot of time.
Tony, last week Chris was talking about something, and basically it was this, and I wasn't really paying attention, and he basically said, Scraby, the sky is blue. I was like, what are you talking about? It's green, Chris. Like, I had no idea what he was talking about, and I was looking like an idiot when that happened.
Number four.
You don't have to tell me.
I know.
I recall... popping up saying something that y'all had just finished talking about in the previous segment.
Carl Sheffers.
You guys know who he is?
Yes, Tony, we literally just got done talking about him.
Yes, the NFL referee. We did a whole segment on him, and then Tony piped in with...
You guys ever heard of Carl Sheffers?
No. Funny you mention it.
I think Chris even was like, yes, please tell us about him.
He did say that.
All right, number four. Shoot. The NCAA announced that three basketball players from Fresno State and San Jose State, Mykel Robinson, Steven Vasquez, and Jalen Weaver, have had their eligibility permanently revoked as a result of an investigation into violations of the NCAA sports gambling rules. Here's what they allegedly did in January 2025. Robinson conspired with another player, Vasquez, to deliberately play poorly in a game. They, along with a third person, bet a combined $2,200 on his poor performance. They won $15,950 on his poor performance. During the same season, Robinson placed 13 daily fantasy sports bets totaling $454 on parlays that included his own performance, winning $618 on one occasion. And then finally, December 2024, Robinson and his teammate Weaver exchanged information about their betting lines. This led to Robinson betting on Weaver and Weaver placing a $50 parlay bet on himself, Robinson, and another athlete, which ended up paying out to $260. So it's a three-person gambling ring here, and they were fixing the odds. Tony, I don't really know what to ask about this because we've already talked, but do you think these allegations are going to follow them the rest of their lives?
I mean, if they stay in sports, it will, for sure. They might be able to get into, like, the regular world and nobody know who they are or what they've done. There's always Google now, but they will at least initially get their foot in the door, I think, because no one's going to, I think, be chasing down with Fresno State and San Jose State basketball players. They're not a team of prominence, either of the two. And so this one could fly under the radar. But, you know, we've talked about it a little bit. I think these are the most susceptible people to all of the gambling going on. Because, quite frankly, I remember how stupid I was when between the ages of 18, 17, and 21.
Me too.
Right? You just think you're invincible, A, and that none of these things could ever actually catch up to you. And I certainly plan to see a lot more of these moving forward.
Chris, do you think these allegations are going to follow them the rest of their lives?
Absolutely, if they stay in sports. But I don't know that they will. I think this is probably the end for these guys. Mm-hmm. And I hope it is, because I hope that the message gets out there that, you know, if you get caught in something like the NCAA, at least on the surface, finally made a correct decision. Maybe their first one in ages. But yeah, this is the only way you could react to this. They have to be like lifetime. Like, we can't have you participate anymore. That has to be the message to everybody. I will spare everybody my usual 20 minutes on how gambling can wreck sports, but
please.
Yeah. Well, stop.
He said please.
I'm spicy, you know, today.
We have enough trouble getting everybody's trust and, you know, appreciation out there without you, you know, shooting down things right and left.
Well, everybody who's listened to this show for any amount of time has heard that speech. So
yes,
go.
They have.
Yeah, it's okay. But I was just trying to rankle you.
The NCAA did the right thing.
All right.
And I don't honestly care what happens to these guys too much.
I mean,
frankly,
if they go for a job, say, in finance, say they're going to be some sort of banker, do you think that they have to, this is going to be on their record? Like, why did you stop playing basketball?
No one cares. Once you stop playing and you move into the real world, unless you did something that people remember, no one cares.
If I'm an employer, I'm like, you already do shady things.
Here's the thing that's sad, right, is that typically athletes are very passionate about the sport they play, which allows them to be good coaches down the line. How are you going? And maybe this is not a bad thing. How, you know, maybe you can explain to a kid and you're in a spot and gone through something where you could actually have add some value to a kid. But, I mean, you can't. Otherwise, if parents aren't comfortable, though, that's going to be something that prevents you from being in that sport, as Chris and I said. Like, they probably have to move out of the sports realm if they don't want to be caught or have their past brought up in their face.
Do you think somebody that gets fired for insider trading and then
yes.
tries to get a job as a communications director for a television station, do you think that goes...
Yes.
Follows them?
I think that you have to explain why you were removed from your previous role. If you were an employer, you ask that.
Who's going to put that on their resume? I got fired for insider trading.
I mean, you don't put that on your resume,
Come
but
on.
They're going to ask, why did your employment suddenly end with this company?
Apparently.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely could put it in there and hope that they don't ask about that particular one.
Or you can just say that, my wife got a job in Nebraska and we moved.
It wouldn't be the first time someone lied in a
What do you think? What do you think people on go into job interviews now and take an honest pill? What day did that start?
How many jobs have you interviewed for in the last, like, say, 5 years, Chris?
Zero.
Oh, good answer. Good answer. Good answer.
If I had, I would have lied my way through it.
Yeah, I love that guy, Scraby, I work with.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. What did you think of the guy? He was fabulous.
He's great. Yeah. He's great. But if I could get someone who has a little bit more attention to detail,
actually, he wasn't
nice.
Very good, and the fact that I survived with him, I think, should be thought of as a positive achievement.
You're
me.
Hired, sir.
There you go.
A new report reveals that in 2019, Kawhi Leonard's uncle, Dennis Robertson, asked the Raptors for no-show endorsement deals and ownership stakes in outside companies, including the Toronto Maple Leafs. He also demanded an additional $10 million annually in sponsorship income. Despite being told sponsors would require appearances, Robertson insisted Leonard wouldn't do anything for the money. The NBA did investigate this when the Clippers signed him as a free agent and found no wrongdoing or illegal benefits. So I'm not going to ask you if Kawhi is guilty or anything, but Chris, when should an athlete get professional representation over family representation?
When should they? Well, it's certainly not my business to tell them what to do.
When would you get professional representation?
I would highly recommend always getting professional representation. That's
nice
just
transition
myself.
Transition there, Scrape.
I don't. I think anytime you involve your family in these kinds of business matters, it can only lead to some negativity down the road.
With hundreds of millions of dollars involved in this whole thing.
Right. But this whole Kawhi Leonard thing is starting to bother me more and more now. Because starting with Pablo S., you know,
Tory.
Semi-truth teller. And
Pablo S.T.T.
Yeah, right. Semi-truth teller. Pablo S. You know, but starting with him and now going with all the other reports that are all guessing, and now this report, which is even admitting that there was no wrongdoing, Kawhi Leonard's name just keeps getting dragged through this, you know, and I am almost positive Kawhi Leonard had very little idea any of this is even going on. So, you know, to that end, I blame Kawhi for allowing his family to represent him. Although, you know, his uncle might be the world's best, greatest, smartest guy. It's just, it leads to, you know, unfortunately, these kinds of things more times than not. So I would not recommend it to anybody.
Tony, when would you get professional representation over family representation?
Immediately. Unless my family was, that was their, you know, deal. You know, that's what they did.
Unless your dad was
an agent. Yeah, like
Drew
he was in
that house or something.
Right. Now I'm doing it immediately from the very get-go. I think, listen, family always usually has good intentions.
Yeah, they do, right.
It, behind their decision. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's informed decision-making. And so I just think it's cleaner that way, man. I've seen too many bad things happen, families getting broken up over these type of situations. And so I just think it's cleaner to have a professional from the very, very beginning, do your deal. Unless, of course, like I said, like if you got a family member that's a top-tier agent or in, you know, in the negotiating stuff, fine, have at it. But otherwise, yeah, get the pro so you can avoid these sticky situations like this one.
Do you think, just in general as a comparison here, guys, I would think, and I fortunately don't have personal experience and don't ever plan on having any, but when people get divorced, my guess is in most cases, and not I'm talking about the high profile crazy stuff we hear sometimes, but I bet you in most cases people get divorced and say, okay, well, you know, let's just sit down and work this out. You never get it worked out, right? You have to have somebody come in and help sort things through. It just works that way.
I think that's like the unicorn of divorces right there, right? It's like, we'll just sit down and hash this out ourselves. You get this, you get this.
Yeah.
Boom.
Everybody's happy. Before you know it, you're like, I better get a lawyer in here.
Exactly.
All right.
Number two.
Now, we always talk about crazy specific stats in baseball, and I finally found one in the NFL that we could use. I was scouring the internet last night. And according to True Media, over the last 18 NFL games, Caleb Williams leads NFL quarterbacks with 52 incompletions due to an overthrow. So he overthrew them 52 times in the last 18
games.
You're
such a Caleb Williams hater.
I'm not.
Sure you're not.
No.
He said he was scouring the internet. What he was really doing was scouring the internet to find negativity about Caleb Williams.
I literally said on Monday, I think he's going to take a step forward this year.
That doesn't mean the inside of you has changed on him
Chris
at all.
I don't think this guy will do anything ever. You know, your imitation of my voice is something that is... You know, really needs to be examined.
It should be studied for sure.
It needs to be examined.
Whenever I get,
there is no way I ever go, well, I think he's gonna. I mean, since when?
Well, I think he's gonna be a failure in the NFL if he doesn't start studying.
Since when did I move to Kentucky and get a gravelly voice?
I don't know. You smoked a bunch of cigarettes overnight.
Okay.
Back to the stat at hand, guys.
Right.
That Caleb Williams leads by 17 more than the next highest quarterback. He added 5. On Monday night.
Okay.
Now, some are saying this is a sign of a bad quarterback. But here are the other guys on the list. The top 5 in order. Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, Patty Mahomes, Sam Darnold, Justin Herbert, and Matthew Stafford are tied at the bottom with 27 overthrows in the last 18 games. Tony, does this stat tell you Caleb Williams is a struggling quarterback?
No, I don't think the stat tells you anything.
Okay. This is what I thought.
He's missed some throws, high, low. What did you say? These are overthrows, I guess?
Overthrows, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean...
Yeah, you know. Where does he rank in the underthrown department? Maybe he doesn't do that.
I'm sorry, what?
I said in the underthrown department, where does he rank there? Maybe he evens out. Because what Tony's saying is right. So he missed some throws. That's all they're telling us is where he missed them.
Right.
Other guys missed
these
throws.
Ones happen to be the ones that were overthrown. So, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know. We're picking on Caleb, so I'll pick
you're
on him.
You're picking on Caleb.
All right, I'll pick on him a little
you're
more.
You're picking on him.
You're right. No,
Matt.
Tony's not. But
I am not.
Let me pick on him a little bit more. The stat that I did take a little credence in the other day was that he led the NFL last year by a wide margin in getting sacked after a certain amount of time went
time,
by.
Yeah, holding on
which
to the
means
ball
he's holding
long.
On the ball too long. Okay, that stat actually kind of told me something. The one that he overthrows people doesn't tell me too much.
You know, I think that stat does tell you something, but that stat is also probably the most fixable, right? He's hanging on to the ball because he's trying to make the spectacular play most of the time versus what we saw him do pretty much for the first three quarters of that game was get the ball out of his hand, not have it too long, and what do you know? He wasn't inaccurate. He was hitting, he was 10 of 10, threw the ball well, but, you know, when you start trying to, you know, and this goes into being, wanting to be the guy, right? You hang on to that ball, you're just trying to get your Russell, old school Russell Wilson on, and it ain't quite working out.
Yeah. And so, when you look down the field to see if your wide receiver is open and DJ Moore has gone over and sat on the bench during the play.
That hurts, too.
That hurts, yeah.
You don't have an option over there anymore.
Takes that option away.
But what if he threw it perfectly at DJ Moore on the bench?
Well, at least he wouldn't get the overthrow stat.
All right, we're running out of time really quick. This person sent this in to me. I'm an Uber Lyft driver, and I have a question for you guys. I listen while I'm driving as much as I can. By the way, have you guys ever been in an Uber and a Lyft when they're playing our show? Like, say we're going somewhere.
I have not.
I have. It is a weird power. Not power. It is a weird feeling knowing that your guys are on the show right there, and you guys are making fun of me, but I'm in the back seat of this guy's Uber. Anyway, Chris, have you?
I've had friends tell me they've heard people listening in an Uber, but not me personally.
I've definitely had that happen to me.
All right. My question for you guys is, when you order a rideshare service, do you sit in the back or the front? I don't mind front riding people, but I also don't care for it. I would rather than front or back rider.
Yeah, I've only been in the front when the back seats are taken by other people that I'm riding with.
Okay, Tony, front or back seat guy?
Same. I'm a back seat guy unless it's full, and then I got to get in the front seat.
But I do want to say that the secret sauce of why Uber is successful is not because they give you rides. It's because you don't have to talk to the guy.
Okay. They literally have an option on there
for
silence. Yes.
I haven't been in an Uber in a really long time. I don't
know. It's the greatest invention.
Drink,
the greatest invention of all time because it took away the stop and chat.
All right. That's it for the Big Five. When we get back, Chris versus the fans, 833-288-0973. Get in line.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.